You're listening to the Drex Radio Show. Drex Radio Show on KGO 810.
About that baby, share the line with it, hit the club.
He said it's new.
This girl showing me love.
Come on, give that to me now.
Get it.
Yeah.
About that baby, share
right.
the line with it, hit the club.
Huh.
I see this girl showing me love.
What?
Get it.
Yeah.
All she wanna do is work. Too much hips and that skirt. All she gonna do is twerk. All she wanna do is party. Got that drink up in my cup.
That's Snoop Dogg and Corey Feldman. I don't know how that happened. I don't know how that happened.
I'm sure I could take a guess. It involved a man with a ponytail.
Yeah,
but an ounce of something.
Corey Feldman, I don't know. Anya Malik is my guest, and thank you very much for joining me. You got a lot of comedy things going on, dude. So tell me what's up with you.
What's going on is Doing the Most on iTunes right now. My comedy album, Doing the Most, tomorrow night. I'll be recording the follow-up to that, Pop Grits, at Doc's Lab in San Francisco on Columbus. Check it out. I got podcast Grits with Anya Malik. You can check that out on iTunes as well. Got a lot of things going on.
A lot of things on Grits. It's so funny you mentioned Grits because we were talking about it earlier when I knew you were coming in. Did you hear the story? Was it, which Judd was it? Was it Naomi? Winona? Naomi? Naomi? Did you hear that earlier in the
happened?
Week?
Disparaging remarks about Grits.
Yes. So she was with RJ and I don't know. They must have been doing some cooking segment or something. And he thought he's heard her say that was slave food. Allegedly.
Oh, Ray J. Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry, what did I say?
Yeah.
Okay, I said RJ. And then she said, no, that's not correct. I said, poor people's food.
That's what it means nowadays, right?
Right. Poor people food.
Apology fail.
I don't know.
That was an apology fail for real.
I don't know who was that, you know.
Grits is for everybody, man. You don't have to be in a certain socioeconomic.
No, I never thought
that's the beauty of
way.
Grits. That's the thing. It brings people from across different boards to the table, literally to the table. You know, the fact that some people have a stigma behind grits is kind of, you know, it's one of those lines in the sand that mentally people draw. You know, it's like you buy this certain bag, it costs this much, and so you can't be seen eating grits, you know, because it's a different quality of life, you know, where we're really, man, grits is a part of life, man. I don't know how to feel about it. I want to throw something.
It just makes me think. It's like, well, everything else crosses over. That's for damn sure. If you think about Thai food, Chinese food, I don't know. I don't know how you classify, for instance, grits as poor people food or.
Well, some people do the same thing with seafood. You know, some people look at seafood and crustaceans and stuff like that as like, you know, garbage of the sea, like sea trash. You know, it's. Ask some certain folks about shellfish and scallops. They don't look at lobster the same.
I love that you said that. Lobsters are bottom dwellers.
See?
Yes. They are. They're like the liver of they're the liver of the bottom of the ocean.
You know, you ask a certain person, that's what they'll tell you. You ask somebody else, they're like, yes,
well,
I'll pay $100 for that.
Right. I like lobster. Don't get me wrong. But I don't think that you're right. I don't think a lot of people know that, you know, certain fish and certain crustaceans are bottom dwellers. That's where they live.
Just because they dwell at the bottom don't mean that they're not.
That they're not good.
They're not fine dining, you know, that they should be, that, you know, people who digest them should be looked at as bottom dwellers. You know what I mean?
Right on. I'm with you. Hey, so we have to say congratulations to the Warriors. They pulled it off.
Thank goodness. I was very worried.
Yeah, 120 to 111. So
I was going to have to deal with drama on my timeline.
I know, right? So 3-2, they've got to win the rest.
Yeah, it's stressful because you know, especially when you put yourself out there as a Warriors fan and people can't wait, you know, for any sort of mistake to hit you with the memes and show you the funny pictures with Michael Jordan crying on them. And, you know, it was a nervous day for me today, but a good thing I duck out the water. I hope we pull this series out. There's somebody talking on my timeline. I'm going to have to take their pictures and put the Michael Jordan face on them.
Absolutely, you should.
I hope. I'm going to try their headshots. I hope so.
Well, just love how the rest of the country throws shade at the Warriors. Because I think it's the time zone.
Right.
I really think it is the time zone thing. But then the whole thing where, you know, the Chicago, after coming from Chicago for years, the Tribune writer, you know, that Steph Curry's ruining basketball because anybody can make a three shot. I mean, come on.
Well, why haven't they been doing it then? Why haven't they been doing it then?
Why can't they do it?
They said that when they started, you know, when the league was all about dunking, you know. This might as well is going to have something to complain about, especially when the status quo is shaken up. And the status quo was the Raiders suck. I mean, the Warriors suck. Oh, the Raiders are still struggling, but the Warriors being terrible was a part of the status quo for so long. And to see, you know, a shift from that, people don't know how to deal with that kind of change, man. It hurts their minds.
It does. I have great sports quotes from somebody here. Let me see. Antoine Walker had this to say on why he shot so many three-pointers. Because there are no fours.
Yeah.
That's a good one, right?
Yeah.
Let me see. Mario Andretti said, well, if you have everything under control, you're not moving fast enough. Mm. And we'll see the Indianapolis 500 this weekend. Yeah, that's the best. Well, Charles Barkley pitched his signature shoes like this. These are my new shoes. They're good shoes. They won't make you rich like me. They won't make you rebound like me. They definitely won't make you handsome like me. They'll only make you have shoes like me. That's it. That's all you get.
Wow. Well, what's in it for you?
It's all about him.
Wow. Well,
I don't know. You either love Charles or you hate him. He's one of those.
His shoes were trash. His shoes were terrible.
I don't remember seeing his shoes.
They're these weird old. They said Air on the side of them. Big old. People liked them, but you know, I thought they was terrible.
Terrible. It was a terrible shoe.
Now I like Steph Curry's shoes, the Under Armour.
I'm cool on those as well.
Do you have?
I just really just wear Vans and Jordans. This is really all I. And maybe if I'm dressing it up, some Kenneth Cole footwear.
I like the Jordans, but I'm afraid to wear them.
I mean,
that's the thing about the Jordans.
I do. I am on edge. I have noticed myself. Like I'm way more easier going when I wear my Vans than when I do wear my Jordans.
It's a weird thing. No, you know, dude. Like, I walk through Chicago and my Jordans on, and people are following me. It's like
too close. You're too close, man.
Maybe not. Yeah.
You're too close to me.
Yeah. Let's go back to Nike or something.
When I got the Jordans on, A6. I establish an elbow length perimeter around everybody.
Right.
With the Vans on, I'm like, yes, let's have hugs. Let's shake hands. Let's meet. Let's stand. In crowded place, the Jordans on, everybody away. I wouldn't care if you was Alicia Keys and you was flirting with me across the room. If we hug, I'm giving you one of them side hugs with the shoulder in between us. You might even just get a dap.
And you remember that whole damn Daniel thing with the Vans? Did you?
No, I missed that. What happened?
Oh, this was. Let me see here. Damn Daniel, let me find this.
Don't tell me the shoes are for bottom feeders, too. He said something about that.
Well, this was originally a viral thing from a couple months ago, and it became this whole sensation. It was just it's a bunch of teenagers from Riverside.
Damn, Daniel. Damn, Daniel. Damn, Daniel. Damn, Daniel. Back at it again with the white van.
So this made it around the world, got half a billion hits, and, you know, next thing these teenagers are on Ellen, and they get Vans for life. And
what were they doing with the Vans? I didn't see.
Just they were just doing this.
Damn, Daniel. Damn,
they were just into their Vans.
Daniel, back.
But somebody was smart enough to make an EDM remix. Yeah. Check this.
It's a beat drop.
Yeah.
Daniel,
sorry.
Turn it off.
No, dude, that's where it caught my ass.
I was about to knock over these monitors. I was about to turn up.
We were going in the nightclub mode.
I don't even really.
Up on the risers. Yes, that used to be me, man. Yeah, I'd be that dude on the risers.
Sorry, I don't even know what came over me just then.
That was good.
There's got to be some sort of scientific study about the effects of the beat drop.
The beat drop was awesome in that, wasn't it?
It was.
Let's just play it one more time. Just that part.
I don't think I'm ready.
Daniel.
Love that.
Make me want to go out and buy a Scion right now.
I know, right on. Yeah, just the Scion, yes.
All right. Box one.
Anya
you
Malika.
Know what time it is.
I know, that's what time it is. All right, we'll be back. We're going to talk about, let me see, T.I. and then, what? There's something else going on.
Troy Ave.
Oh my God.
Terrible.
Yeah. Okay, lots going on. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Late Night Late Show wrap-up on the Drex Radio Show on KGOA 10.
Drex on the next generation of KGO. 810.
Congratulations to the Dub Nation. They pulled it off tonight. Is this all Cure all the time? Is this Karen Reed's like favorite group of all time? What's the dude's name? Robert. I'm sorry? Oh, yeah. Robert Smith. Okay. That makes me think you like Johnny Depp, too, because he reminds me of Johnny Depp.
All solid and everything.
Yeah, that's a good way to describe it. And it looks like Johnny Depp is getting a divorce, if you believe what is going around here today. They've only been married for 15 months. Amber Heard, filing. And she's trying to get spousal support, too. I don't get the whole spousal support thing. David Hasselhoff was just talking about this. He doesn't want to pay alimony anymore because obviously the Hoff's not making the money that he used to. And what is her name? Oh, Pamela Bach. They got divorced in 2006. She makes $250,000 a year just off alimony. He's saying get a damn job. And Amber Heard, I mean, yeah. What is the alimony thing? I don't get that.
Well, what's up with you not getting them prenups? I mean,
right on. Oh, and by the way, it's funny.
It's like, okay, well, then we just won't get married.
Anya Malika is my guest. And so word is that Depp, let me see if the blah, 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 doesn't look like they have a prenup.
Man, they out here saving them.
Right. But
rescuing them.
Yeah, but you know what? Since they were only married for, I don't know, 15 months, you would only have to split 15 months or whatever you made. So I think he'll be okay.
Hey, he had a cool little 15 months, though. Didn't he book a couple things that were like really Alice in Wonderland Through the Looking Glass coming out? They about to do Pirates 5. They about to, or 6. I don't know how many Pirates movies they got, but
I'm not down with
You're not up on the Depp game?
No.
No?
Are you?
I mean, I hear things. I'm not like, you know, I don't have no t-shirts of his or nothing like that. You know what I'm saying? I don't wear any rings or nothing.
It just kind of creeps me out for some reason. I don't know. Hey,
that's because he plays creepy people on. That's most of his lane.
That's his whole thing.
Career has kind of been creep moves.
Right on. We were congratulating the Warriors for winning tonight, but we have to congratulate the San Jose Sharks who advanced to the Stanley Cup. But last night they won. They beat the Blues 5-2.
5 seconds for the first time in franchise history, the San Jose Sharks are headed to the Stanley Cup final.
So here's why I have to tell you, growing up on the East Coast, Toronto Maple Leafs, the Blackhawks, the Red Wings, the Bruins, the Rangers, the Flyers, they got to be going bat crap crazy. Insane. How could San Jose be playing in the Stanley Cup?
San Jose's been good for a long time, just
great.
Never went to the big dance, right?
I love it.
And, you know, if I say anything that's inaccurate about hockey, it's because I don't follow it at all. But they've never been before, though, right?
No.
No, that's big.
Yeah. Man,
that's
25 years.
But they've been really good for, they hit a couple strides where they came really, really close.
So, well, let's see how that works out. And then we were talking about, back to the Warriors for a second. It's Cleveland taking on Toronto. So how crazy would it be if Toronto beats the Cavs?
That would be insane. That would be really something.
You think it's going to happen?
I don't know, man. The East is not really. I don't really care what goes on the East, man. That's that's not the conference to beat. You know, the real championship is being played right now. This is, whoever wins this is taking
it. I know.
And I'm saying that. I mean, it's exciting what they're doing over there right now to get to the finals, you know. But well, you know, speaking for myself only personally, yawn.
I love it. So you're not down with LeBron James and his billion-dollar Nike deal?
I'm not down with it. I'm really indifferent to his personal off-court moves. I mean, he's got to do what he's got to do. And, you know, after Nike kind of messed up the opportunity to secure Curry, they got to double down on who they got. You know, they got to do Space Jam 2016. You know, they got to do these things.
Let me ask you this, Anya. Did you hear the story about how Steph Curry decided to go with the Under Armour that he let his kids pick?
No, I didn't hear the exact story. From what I understood was that somebody at a meeting didn't put no respect on his name.
Oh, well, I heard the story where he had all the shoes out and he let one of the kids or the kids pick their favorite.
Really?
And then he went with that one. I don't know if it's true or not.
Oh, well, we probably shouldn't report that then.
it's a great innocent story. I mean, there's nothing.
Innocent rumor.
Right.
I don't know. I feel like that'd be too much control, you know, over a multi-million-dollar deal. If my kids, how you know your kids got taste?
Well, I've seen the shoes. They look pretty sharp to me. This came out of the Wall Street Journal today. They say that 50% of NBA players are related to other elite athletes, meaning anyone who's played any sport professionally in the NCAA or at any national team level. That's half the league. So,
half the league. Wow.
Yeah, right. So 447 NBA players and 218 of them have a relative who's also awesome at sports. Most of the relatives are dads and brothers, but there's also sisters, mothers, aunts, uncles, cousins, and grandparents. Only about 17.5% of the NFL players and 14.5% of the baseball players are related to other elite athletes. So why is the NBA so high? Probably genetics.
Well, I think it's a game that the business of it and the physicality of it supports long lines of participants or other familiar participants. Football, you can't really have a lot of long lines of football players. You can maybe have a couple generations, but you start to see a couple of generations, the effects of all that, of all those, maybe only in the quarterback position can you have a few generations of players, but everybody else is, you know, there's like, there'll be some signs of history of like, you know, mental decline or just, you know, you're just exposed to the deterioration that comes with the game to where I think the football people are kind of discouraged. They probably discourage their family members from entering into football.
Right now, yeah, it's a whole different thing.
And in baseball, they outsource a lot of that to you know, Cuba and the Philippines or whatever.
I was just going to say, wait till the floodgates open with the Cubans. Yeah, it's going to be the Cuban invasion of baseball. All right, we got to take a break and we'll be back. Oh, Anya, talk about where you're going to be appearing.
Oh, tomorrow night, May 27th, Friday night at Doc's Lab, 8 o'clock and 10 o'clock show. I'll be recording the follow-up album to my Doing the Most offering. It's going to be called Pop Grits, but it's going to be a lot of fun. It's 8 o'clock and 10 o'clock, Doc's Lab.
Right on. Check it out. We'll be right back on the Drex Radio Show.
You're listening to the Drex Radio Show. Drex Radio Show. On the next generation of KGO 810.
God, I'm going to be hearing Robert in my head tonight. Have you covered every single song yet for The Cure?
Nope, getting there.
Anya, I'm sure they're one of your favorite artists, The Cure.
Yeah. My fave. I've got the fever. If only there were a cure.
I love Love Song. Love Song. Oh, and what's the up-tempo, the really big up-tempo one that they had? Oh, that'll drive me nuts. Anyway, just so you know, that you can even be Adele. You want to pot that mess down. Thank you. I'll think of what it is. So even Adele, when you're huge like Adele, you can forget the words sometimes. Check this out. I love this. Now, you didn't pot me up. Hold on a second here. Now I'm going to have to replay it. Here we go. And, okay, here we go.
Oh, snap. Oh, wow.
What kills
sorry.
Me?
Sorry. Sorry, mate.
Forgot the words.
Right then. Thank you.
So when you're doing comedy, how do you just improv or do you go through, you know, you have your set bits and your set?
Both. It depends on the scenario.
Try to hit the button.
Well, yeah. I mean, like I said, it depends on the scenario. If I got, you know, if I have to tape or something at a club or a room for submission, I'll probably stick closer to the material. But if I, you know, if it's just a fun showcase where I'm kind of relaxed, I can, you know, I have the material, but I don't have to, you know, marry myself to a specific dialed in set of jokes, you know, set number of or particular jokes. I sometimes like to just go out there and just, you know, feel which direction I go as I go.
Right. And do you find different cities different? I mean, do you find San Francisco different than Los Angeles or Seattle? Or
yeah, well, lately I have only, I mean, they're all great because they all participate when I grab the microphone and do my thing. But lately I've noticed when I'm in San Francisco and I mention that I live in Los Angeles, but I'm from the Bay Area, it goes from yay to boo. Like I'll say, hey, I'm from Oakland. They're like, woo, but I live in Oakland now. They're like, oh, boo, which is hilarious. Like, it's so funny, man. People up here don't really like LA, which is so weird. It's like a grudge that's completely one-sided. Like,
it's a strange
it's like such a one-sided thing. Like in LA, I think the overall attitude about San Francisco is like they're hella cool and chill.
Yeah. Do you think it feels like it's its own private little club up here?
Well, you know, I also take into consideration that the people who usually boo at that part, you know, weren't born and raised in San Francisco themselves. And so,
no, of course not.
And so, no. You know, they already have an idea of the San Francisco they've moved to and in a lot of different ways shaped it into that kind of place where you would kind of look down on someone that's living in Hollywood, which I don't know how you would do that, you know. But, you know, it is what it is. I try to tell people, like, please, you don't have to boo or, like, fear or worry about me. I'm doing, like, a little bit all right. You know, I live in an apartment with no roommates, and I'm not paying an arm and a leg for it either. So
how'd that happen?
Well, it's not in the Bay Area. That's how it happened.
Okay. That's how I was just
easily how it happened.
It's not here then.
I don't even think I could find what I'm living in Hollywood. I can't even find that in Oakland, I don't think.
No, isn't that crazy? You can actually live cheaper
and follow
Los
your
Angeles.
Dreams.
Yes. To move to Los Angeles.
Oh, and if you're listening, I'm lying about it. Please don't try it.
Well, at night they can hear you in LA. You know that on KGO.
Oh, yeah, that's cool. Yeah. That's cool. You guys stay there. Just don't bring no more people in. I don't want everybody in the Bay to know that it's cheaper to live there and, you know, follow your dreams at the same time. Please.
Well, so then how's the LA audience different?
Well, they're cool. They just, you have to put a lot more into them because their expectations are higher because, you know, they're the hottest comics that are on television also play these clubs regular. And so if you're like the hottest comic that's not on television, such as myself, you know, it's you know, they you have to get over the, you have probably have to prove yourself a bit more. Whereas with, you know, you're in the land of credits, and it's easier to get credits just being in L.A. and book a thing, you know. And,
right.
And those credits sort of, they sort of, in people's minds, qualify you to tell jokes, even though the credits usually aren't, like, directly comedy associated, unless it's, like, Comedy Central. And a lot of times, you know, those, you know, Comedy Central credits would just be like you were in a sketch. But the credits make people feel comfortable with your skill set. And if you don't have the credits, you might have to, you know, work for it a little bit harder. But that's the only difference I've noticed. All in all, though, you know, like I get the same reactions to a lot of my material no matter where I go.
Well, and do you find it, it must be, I don't know if it's stressful or anxiety ridden or anything like that, if you're performing in Los Angeles at a comedy club. And you know there's a big name in the house, or you know that there's somebody prospecting for
one of the
talk shows.
It used to be. Yeah. It was maybe in the first 4 years. I was in those scenarios and situations. And then right. and then even in to also knock it out the park in front of these people and on these same lineups as some of like the biggest names, and to just hit it out the park. And, you know, people approach you afterwards and be like, wow, you're the funniest guy. And you're like, really, with these names? And then the next day, next month, absolutely nothing happens. You know what
nothing
I mean?
Happens.
Absolutely nothing. You knock it out the park and
you don't hear nothing from.
The only thing you might walk with an extra pep in your step. You might feel a little better about yourself and your skills. But, you know, but to do that process on repeat, you know, it shows you the other side of it. So now as you enter more and more of these situations, scenarios, you're not nervous. You're just like, man, whatever happens, happens. If I fail or succeed, I may or may not get a call either way. And, you know, sometimes people feel like, you know, I've seen comedians go in with somebody who was there to watch them and they feel like they didn't do well. But that was like, whatever happened, they still got the deal. And so anything
right,
can really happen.
You don't know it. You don't know. You
never know.
Anya Malik is my guest. You know, it reminds me. Tell me if you think this is true. Because back in the day with Leno and Letterman and Johnny Carson for sure, they would always send their peeps out to scout comedians. But I don't see a lot of these late night guys, Colbert or Fallon or Kimmel, putting comedians on, allowing them to do their own sets.
Nah, well, those I don't know. Those shows don't really the ones that don't feature comics already aren't seem like they have that worked out in their format to where that would work. And then the ones that do, yeah, they're not scouting because most of that is fed to them through the agencies anyways. And so that aspect where they had to pay a guy to do that, they usually don't have to pay a guy. They have somebody that does
kind
the overall
shame,
talent.
Right?
And then, yeah, the overall talent coordinate, you know, does the music and everything, you know, they book everything and then they'll just hit up the talent agencies and be like, yo, you got some new guys?
Right. But I'm glad we're talking about this because back in the day with the formula, I mean, it seems so formulatic. You know, there's a formula to everything. So, you know, for instance, Fallon started doing game show stuff. So then now Kimmel does game show stuff. And that seems to be the go-to thing. Now Ellen does game show stuff. Everybody does game show stuff. And I don't know. It reminds me of Top 40 music. Formula.
All started with Carson.
Yeah, but well, Carson would find comedians. He would scout. He would have his
exactly.
people out there scouting, looking for
a
people like you.
A small percentage of, from what I understand, of television production, a very small percentage is new ideas. And then the vast majority is refreshing or revamping or all out just repackaging the same thing that's sort of been out there because it's proven successful. And you know, a lot of studios are less willing to take risks on anything that hasn't been, you know, proven, tried or tested a million times, 400 focus groups and all this. Because there's like a fear,
insane,
there's a fear
right.
of failure that comes in that space. Which is, you know, difficult because you're dealing with comedians who, you know, go in there fearless, you know, and the worst thing that can happen, which is people not laughing or maybe even getting booed. It probably has happened. And, you know, once you've faced that, you know, the fears aren't really the fears are few. There are few fears after that, even if you get with. You know, if you get a network development deal or something and all the shows that you pitch fail, you know, you're not overall worried. But now the person that's working with it with you, maybe another producer who's not a comedian, you know, if this thing fails, they're like biting their nails. You know, the fear of failure is a very powerful emotion. It makes people do drastic and dramatic things. And it also keeps people in their comfort zone. And so I think TV is, and the people who are in control and at the helms of a lot of things in TV are no different than any other regular person who they don't want to take those chances because they, you know, it's new territory.
It's edgy. Yeah, it's all on the edge. I mean, show business always is up and down, in and out.
And that's what, you know, when somebody does take a chance and like gets crazy, you know, like you showing me some kids on TV with some Vans.
Yeah,
no one
Dan
would ever
Daniel.
No one ever would ever think to do that, And, you know, because, you know, and they weren't making it with the intentions on, you know, having
Hell
this thing
no.
happen.
They were teenagers.
They're
no.
just doing it. And yeah. they're actually, you know, they're so... There's the fun approach. And so when you enter into the, you know, you enter into a production where it's, you know, the you know, and let's call that a production. They entered into a production with
right.
the means to make fun. I mean, with the ends to have fun. And they did that and that was the goal. The goal was to have fun. And now in them having fun, you know,
it blew up.
And now from that attention, you said they were placed on this show or placed on these shows and doing these tours. You know, it's equally important for them to be on Ellen as it is for Ellen to have them, because the people who are familiar with them as a sensation are going to be funneled over to watch them on Ellen, whereas if they were not already. So.
And Fallon and Kimmel do it, too. So they're picking up these social media YouTube kids and all that. I got to take a break when we come back. I have one that I'm going to play you that you'll definitely hear about within the next couple of weeks.
Tell them about my Instagram real quick?
Absolutely, go.
A-N-Y-I-M-A-L-I-K, Anya Malik, A-N-Y-I-M-A-L-I-K. Check out my gram.
All right, we'll be right back with Anya on the Drex Radio Show.
The next generation of KGO 810. Now, back to the Drex Radio Show. Drex Radio Show.
Anya Malik is my guest. And let's talk about, you know, we were just discussing late night television show and the comics getting involved in the business and of show business. And you know, Anya brought up the fact that it's the viral things that really are making the crossover and the transition on to the late night talk shows, even the daytime talk shows. So I want to play this one. This one just happened this week. So this is this woman. She's laughing hysterically, and she went to Kohl's and she bought a Chewbacca mask. Mm-hmm. All right. So this is totally innocent. It's not a setup.
She put it on my screen so I can see too.
No. I just have audio.
Oh.
But it's out there. Okay. Let me see. We'll tag it at Generation.
I think
Drex.
I heard about this.
Yeah. So just take a listen because it's just insanely. Oh, no, don't tell me it's not going to play. Don't pull this on me. Hang on one second here.
She's about to show it to me right now.
Is she? We might have to play it that way, unless my computer cooperates.
The laughing Chewbacca mask lady?
Yes. Well, this is going to drive me crazy. I'm really excited to share with you something I got. I'll pull it up to the microphone.
Okay. Uh-oh.
It was a little too big. Thank you. I know some of you may be thinking the opposite. Shame. No shame. It's all love. It's all love. Okay.
Okay, I have it.
Now watch when my mouth actually moves.
Okay. You're really shouting out Kohl's on this one.
That's
I didn't know they sold
mouth.
I thought it was like a paint store. Like a Lowe's or something.
Here, listen.
Yeah. Like a department store. Sitting in the car by herself.
Well, it's the simple joys, I guess.
I know, no, dude, that's totally what it is. It's like the damn Daniel thing.
Oh, I'm such a happy Chewbacca.
Oh, wow.
Now, when you see that on TV, you'll know where that came from.
Oh, my goodness.
It has, how many, I bet it's 200 million views. It was at 175.
The one you showed me got 4 million something.
Okay.
I'm not going to lie. I'm trying to do a little viral stuff. I do these little lurk videos I be doing. I just, you know, make provocative looks into my camera over slow music or some other soundtrack. Or I'll just say lurking stuff. It's pretty funny on Instagram. I don't really care if they go viral. It's just really fun. But I can see it happening.
So what is
strange enough?
What is the strangest thing that you've done that actually got the most hits?
Online?
Yeah.
I saw this guy get tased by club security.
Oh, right.
And
on.
He escaped. He escaped the tase because his friend pulled up and jumped into the passenger. He jumped into the passenger window and he drove off. They was trying to take him to jail, but he was trying to get out of there, and they tased him, and he got away. And I was taping that, and I was so excited that he got away that my reaction was like I won personally myself, like I got away. But I was excited, and I, you know, that had some positive, that did some positive stuff. It didn't, you know, about some thousands. Oh, I was also in a BuzzFeed video that got a million something views. We were ordinary citizens trying on police uniforms and asked how we feel. And so that kind of went, I wouldn't say super viral, but a million people. They say 900,000 qualifies for viral.
Yeah, no, that does for sure.
Yeah, this got about a million views. We were on Fox News. They talked bad about us on Fox, man. They called us bloggers. They called us cowardly bloggers who wouldn't have what it takes to don the uniform in real life, which was weird. It was like a BuzzFeed video. It's not like nothing we set out to do. BuzzFeed was like, yo, we wanted some regular people to try on. And it was messed up because, you know, when we were there, it was kind of like this, you know, this it was just, you know, the questions they were asking were thought provocative. You know what I mean? They were like interesting, introspective questions about how, you know, I really felt with this outfit on. And so it seemed like they were going to do like a righteous, you know, piece about, you know, just that walking in the shoes of an officer, even if it's not literally. I mean, even if only literally walking in the shoes, but not really figuratively going through what they go through. You know, I thought it was going to be a more serious piece, but when they published it on their site, it was kind of like a goofy sort of thing. And so
they twisted it.
Yeah, they twisted it, totally twisted it. And like even the sound bites I gave were like, you know, I got kind of deep with it, cuz you know, police brutality has always been a important issue of mine. And so I had some actual perspective to offer on both sides, you know, as somebody who's been a victim of police brutality, and as somebody who's looked to police officers in a time of need, you know.
Sure.
And so, you know, I was going through these ranges on the spectrum, and none of that got captured in this BuzzFeed piece. And so when we were getting kind of dissed on Fox News, it was just like, yeah, I really hate all of you, but you got me on TV, you got me viral.
Thanks for the boost. Right, yeah, right on. No.
I don't know how to feel.
Double-edged sword. Well, thank you very much, Anya Malik, for coming in. And once again, you'll be at Doc's Lab.
Doc's Lab on Columbus tomorrow night, 8 o'clock and 10 o'clock. You can get tickets, DocsLabSF.com or on BrokeAssStewart.com. I can say that, right?
That's the name absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
BrokeAssStewart.com is the website. Or FunCheapSF. All those places you can get tickets. Yeah, man, 8 o'clock and 10 o'clock. It's gonna be fire.
Thank you very much, Anya, for coming in. All right, the John Bachelor Show is coming up next on KGO 810.